66 WFAN.
Welcome back to The Fan. Lori Rubenson here with you at 877-337-6666. To talk about the Mets and what to do from here, we bring in Dave Lennon from Newsday. Dave, how long have you been covering baseball in New York?
Well, I think my first year on the beat covering the Yankees was 1995. So that's quite some time looking back on it now.
And you've been a columnist, kind of baseball columnist, covering both teams since when?
Since 2012.
Okay,
so that's a lot more recent development. I was on the Yankee beat from 95 through 98, which, as people remember, were some pretty good years there.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And then I was on the Mets beat from 2002 through 2012. So quite an extended run over in Flushing during some interesting times, to be sure.
Yeah, I'm just establishing your creds here for the conversation that we're about to have. Now,
sure,
it's not the first conversation that even you and I have had on the radio about Mets, dysfunctionality and disappointments, mm-hmm, and the blame game and all of that. So let's start off with, if you were Jeff Wilpon, if you were the Wilpons, and put aside that, you know, obviously you might handle the whole situation and the team differently, but if you found yourself in this situation, would you be firing Mickey Callaway on Monday, yes or no?
I wouldn't. I think that as disastrous as this past weekend was in Miami, I think, and I wrote about this some today for tomorrow's newspaper, is that I really think this stretch that they had coming up and finishing with this week at home with the Nationals and Tigers was kind of the thing I had circled. You know, if I don't see a pulse from the team this week, then I think that was it. I can feel satisfied that I gave it a fair run. It's Memorial Day at that point.
Yep.
And I think then you get a fair read on what this team is doing as far as underperforming. So I at least gave it that.
Okay.
I know everybody.
Okay.
Everybody's frustrated after,
yep,
what we saw over the weekend, and rightfully so. But I've seen a lot of stretches like that over time that managers have survived. And I think in this case, I think they would be justified in at least giving it this week at home to see how things go.
So you give it to, the traditional Memorial Day, about a third of the season over, time to assess, enough time then to assess.
I think so. I think that'd be a fair read.
All right. Now, when you say, the team has been disappointing, obviously, though, between last year and this year, what is your impression of Mickey Callaway and his performance? Putting aside that we know the players have been disappointing, the manager can't, he's not up there hitting, he's not pitching, we get all of that, and we can talk about the problems maybe with the roster, but what is your assessment of Mickey Callaway as a manager?
I think, Lori, he did get a little bit better in the second year. I know that's tough to hear considering where the record has been. I think some areas he did work harder to improve. I think his communication with some of the players has been better. I think some of improvement with the media, he still had his stumbling along the way, but there has been some marginal improvement there. You know, this hasn't been a case, Lori, where I've seen in the past where, you know, we had the clubhouse mutiny against Willie Randolph,
mm-hmm,
that cost him his job. We had kind of the civil war that cost Bobby Valentine his job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Callaway's case, at least from my experience, I haven't seen that. At least, like, I've talked to players who have kind of lauded the communication that they felt has existed between Brody and Callaway and the players. And, you know, unsolicited, you know, they've just brought that up during conversations. You know, is it real? You know, I can only go by on what they've been,
sure,
saying. It seems to be there. In other ways, maybe it isn't if you try to tie it into their performance. So, listen, Callaway, obviously, if you want to look at him as some kind of motivator, that certainly hasn't seemed to work.
And I guess the thing that I would look at also when you look at performance in this team, I never doubt with professional athletes that they're not trying. When people talk about effort, like I always think these guys are trying. It's not about that.
Right.
But when you think about focus, when you think about approach at the plate against a pitcher who averages 4.7 walks per game, you know, today, mm-hmm. and they're up there, you know, just hacking away at the first or second pitch and not working or grinding at bats, there's nothing to that. The approach just doesn't is dumb. When I see things like that, or if the fielding's poor, whatever it is, Mickey doesn't seem to have any suggestions except riding it out. And that's the concern to me, is communication, fine. So he's communicating better and communicates with Brody. But when things go bad like this, a team that fell into such a tailspin last year, what is it that Brody's going to try and do about it? It doesn't seem, sometimes even symbolically, you have to do something, and he's not, I don't see him doing anything.
Well, I think what you touched on, Lori, was right. I mean, when you're a manager, especially one with not a lot of experience, and this is only Callaway's second year, when a team goes into this funk and they realize the stakes and what's going on, you see a lot of tensing up.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of anxiety. They're just human, like everybody else.
Yep.
So you start seeing a lot of that, you know, bad at-bats from younger players, too. From the McNeils, from the Alonzos,
mm-hmm.
you know, from the J.D. Davises, despite having a couple hits today.
Mm-hmm.
You just see everybody kind of tensing up at the plate, swinging at bad pitches. That's natural. And you know what, Lloyd? That becomes very difficult to reverse because you don't have the success to build on. The manager doesn't have the confidence in himself that he knows what to do to turn it around. A lot of the players don't have the confidence as a team that they can turn it around. And this type of this gravitational pull starts pulling you down. And it's very difficult to reverse, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wonder, you know, either they kind of right themselves this week, or, I mean, does making Jim Riggleman the manager suddenly cure this? I don't know.
Sometimes it works.
Sometimes
you need change for change's sake, just to send
right.
a message. If a manager is not getting through, you know, communication skills or not. Talking to Dave Lennon from Newsday about the Mets. And all right, the other part of it that is not a great look for Mickey Callaway is Robinson Cano. And
mm-hmm.
now, Robinson Cano, we can talk about the non-hustle plays and all of that, but my point earlier was the bigger concern to me is the lack of performance, and in particular, how he hits versus left-handed pitching. At this point, he's almost not playable versus that.
Right.
And so, isn't that more on Brody Van Wagenen for trading for his former player than now Mickey Callaway stuck dealing with it?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I know that people are yelling at Mickey about why he wasn't benched after Friday for not running on the ball back to the mound and not running on the double play, and then why he wasn't pulled from today's game, you know, for not running mm-hmm. on a ball that he thought foul. Listen, Callaway is going to protect the GM's guy, you know? I mean, that's what Brody would want him to do, and that's what he's doing. That's what a lot of managers do. I'm not defending it. I think if it was any other player, that has to be a message that's sent. But Callaway's in a pretty tough spot there, you know, and not making, you know, I don't want to make an excuse for him. I think I'm just kind of laying it out how it is. But, you know, a manager is under a GM.
Yeah.
And the GM has his guy.
I'm not saying that this will happen at all, ever. But give me a couple names you might consider if you were looking for somebody who wouldn't just be a puppet of the general manager, but has the strength or track record that they could truly make out the lineup card, not based on salary or the GM's guys?
Well, I mean, Laurie, first of all, let me preface that by saying I don't think that's a reality in today's game
now.
You know, it just doesn't exist. I'd love to see Dusty Baker be manager of the Mets, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd love to see even a guy like Wally Backman now that Sandy Alderson's gone be manager of the Mets. But these are manager GM situations that don't really exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just don't see it around the league. You know, you don't have, there's only one Joe Maddon. There's no Joe Maddon types anymore. There's only one Terry Francona. You don't see another Terry Francona types anymore. They just don't exist. Mm-hmm. So that's why, especially with this GM, I don't know what his dream choice is now. I mean, I think Riggleman is there to be the next guy in line, and he does have experience in this role. He has experience of taking over from fired managers. He's done it a lot of times. So maybe the fact that he does have that experience, that he knows what to do in these situations when a team is in free fall, and I think that's one reason to point to why it might work. But other than that, I mean, if people think they're going out and hiring Joe Girardi or something, that's just not going to happen. I just don't see that at all.
You don't see that at all mid-season, or you don't see that at all, period, even after the end of the season?
I don't really see that all, period. I just don't see this as a framework that Girardi would want to work in, just because of, I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of random, mm-hmm. you know, between the ownership and the experimental GM.
Yeah.
So I just don't think that's a spot for him. I think the Nationals would be a great spot for him. I think that's where he could wind up.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think the next manager, which I think is the direction we're heading for sure, it's going to be a tough call. You're going to have to, you know, watch Riggleman play these guys back into contention and then be the manager for the next 3 years or something like that. It wouldn't shock me, but, you know, as far as flashy names go beyond this, that's a pretty tough call.
All right, real quick, I have to let you go, but so last one quickly is, you mentioned the experimental GM. At what point can we give a grade to the experimental GM?
Well, you can start grading him right now. I mean, his free agent acquisitions and his trade with Robinson Cano, those things certainly aren't working. You know, I mean, it's tough to say right now that you didn't want to do any of them, because there were some that I liked during the off season. So I can't like them during the winter and now say they're lousy because they're not working. I can just say they're not working, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I think we're seeing that. I mean, Cano, listen, we knew he was 36 years old. You know, we knew he was coming off a PED suspension.
Yep.
So this was certainly something that could have happened. Now it's happening. So now they have to figure out how to fix it. If that means making him more of a platoon guy somehow, then that's what they're going to have to do. I mean, one of his guys that he picked up during this offseason and gave a lot of money to was Jed Lowry. And we haven't even seen him on the field yet. So that gives you an idea of how badly some of these moves have been going for him so far.
All right, Dave Lennon, Newsday. Always appreciate the time. Catch up with you soon.
My pleasure, Laurie. Take care.